Hey guys, welcome back to the Marketing Food Online podcast. Today, we're talking about FBA and food products. All right, guys, so I'm going to actually do a series of podcasts. This is going to be the first one, of course. And I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into what Amazon FBA can do for your food business and some of the products that would actually lend itself as great FBA food products and some that would lend themselves to, well, probably shouldn't be shipped to Amazon because it's not going to arrive to the customer in great shape. And there's some food items and nutritional products and health foods that are great and some that are not. So I'm going to start the series off today. I'm actually going to lay out the basics. So if you're relatively new to the concept of FBA, for Amazon FBA for a food product, I'm actually just going to delve. This specific podcast is going to get into the basics and the introductions. So if you're not familiar with it, it can kind of give you a simple layout to what to expect and what Amazon expects from you. So number one, of course, you have to have an Amazon selling account. I would recommend you apply for the business account. When you get into selling, though, on the grocery gourmet foods category, it is known as getting ungated, okay? So this is actually a category within Amazon that you have to get approval to sell in because of the fact that you're selling a perishable product and it is a food product, okay? Obviously, if you're selling light bulbs, you're selling batteries and USB cables, they don't have an expiration date necessarily. So you have to jump through a couple of hoops, and it's not that difficult, although some people have a tendency to, I don't want to say shy away, but they just don't take the effort to move forward with it because then they see what the initial startup is as far as the types of paperwork and information you need to provide and licensing and that type of stuff. But to be honest with you, it's not any different than starting any other type of business. You just have to apply for licenses. Once you get the licenses, you got to show Amazon the licenses that you have. Make sure that you abide by all your federal, state, and local laws in regards to food production or food handling or food selling, okay? And then showing that you have insurance on the company itself. And again, this is just some basic information that you potentially need to show Amazon. And of course, invoices showing, you know, the purchase of ingredients or the products that you're getting. You know, they just want to make sure that you're a legitimate business and that you're, you know, not selling candy out of your second bedroom in your house or something. So this doesn't apply, of course, to food cottage law. Of course, you can't operate this type of business through that method. But if you have a commercially licensed facility or if you are a food establishment and you've got a food sales establishment license, that's different, okay? So some of the seller requirements. So, of course, as a seller on Amazon's end, you've got to have an order defect rate less than 1% of your total amount of orders, a pre-fulfillment cancellation rate, which is the cancellation of orders before they are actually fulfilled has to be less than 2.5%, and then a late shipment rate of less than 4%. And to be honest with you, if you guys are starting out, just stay on top of your orders, ship them out when you're supposed to ship them out, handle the customers, and just, you know, take care of the customers, and you're not going to have to even think about that as far as the requirement because you're going to be on top of your game and getting orders out. Okay, so now this is where it gets this is more interesting. This is why I did the podcast for today. So the product requirements. So food must be properly prepared. It has to be sealed, labeled, and packaged, of course. It can't be open, obviously. If it's heat sealed or if it's vacuum sealed, make sure that it has a proper seal on it. You want to make sure your product is not in a container that you got to keep in mind now. This product's going to go into a warehouse that's going to be handled. So I did a few videos on YouTube already, a Marketing Food Online YouTube channel, where I actually discuss the types of packaging that would lend itself to be really good. Has to be kind of durable. I would not recommend glass. You can do glass, but I personally would never do that. Plastic bags or plastic containers, cardboard boxes with reinforcements inside of it. You know, these are the types of things that really are good for their type of environment in a warehouse. So, of course, you must be licensed or approved by the government agency within your state, city, and county for the types of products that you plan to sell. So, if you're selling, if you're licensed to do a business and you're selling detergents and clothing items and you start to get into the food business, that is a totally different type of license. You can't cross over the two of those, obviously, unless you're selling at a grocery store. But if you're a grocery store, that's a whole nother podcast. So you can't mix the two. If you're not licensed to sell food, well, you just need to get your license to sell food. You must ensure also make sure that your business and products, the operations, comply again with the federal and state laws. These are not difficult to follow, okay? And they're very simple to Google within your state or city and then track down what agency. Could it be the Department of Agriculture, you know, who inspects you? Is it the health department? There are a couple of different agencies, and it depends on your state and county and city. Everybody has their layer of rules, I guess you want to say. So that is something you want to definitely keep in mind. Also, the next thing that's super, super important to keep in mind, date-sensitive products. So food items that are sent in, okay, it must have an expiration date permanently marked on the every unit, okay, unless you've got some type of an exemption, as it states. You need to have an exemption for that. But traditionally, like a best buy or an expiration date needs to be on a product. And, of course, there's two differences. Those two things are different, by the way. I'll do a separate podcast because that's kind of a very interesting subject. A lot of people don't understand that there is a difference between the two. But the FDA has certain regulations which were kind of interesting. I read up on this quite a few years ago about expiration and Best Buy. So make sure it has that on there. And, of course, and make sure that every unit that is shipped is one that's set for sale. Now, what do I mean by that? There are some ways of packaging products that are in multi-packs, and they're not specifically labeled either with nutritional labeling, allergen labeling, or ingredient labeling. They're just in a large quantity pack, and each of those individual units are not actually packaged to sell. Okay, so let's say you buy a box of Twinkies. Okay, you buy a box of Twinkies, and you take it home, and you open it up. The box that it's in is for sale. The individual units are not labeled for that reason. So make sure that the individual units are labeled when you're selling them in an individual basis, okay? Very, very important to distinguish the two. So the next one is make sure that the fulfillment centers, the shelf life details, are updated on the products themselves. So the information that is when you send out a set order that you've shipped out, make sure that everything is up to date, okay? So the units that are in stock, if they're set by a certain expiration date, they don't overlap. I actually learned this, not necessarily the hard way, but I just learned this by doing it. I had two shipments. One of them, a product was getting low, and I reshipped it out and had a much longer shelf life. Well, there were some units that are in stock that had already expired or they're getting ready to expire. So you want to make sure that you sell through those expiry dates prior to replenishing. Now, I know that sounds kind of a tricky thing to do, but if you have it, let's say it was October 1st and you had a product expiring October 5th. And October 1st, you were low on a product, you ship it out, and now you've got a product that's good till next year, right? Several months out. Well, the inventory that's in stock, it could be a chance that the newer stuff gets pulled, and then you've got a product sitting there that already expired 4 days out, and that's going to be a little bit of a problem, okay? So enclose and seal food and packaging suitable for shipping. Now, this gets into what I mentioned before. It must be food from a contamination and spoiling or melting and a damaging standpoint. It has to be in a container that can withstand, packaging that can withstand all that, okay? So obviously Amazon has a program that they email companies out during the summer and spring periods that if you have a product that's meltable or could melt in their warehouse, they want it out. They will pull it. They will either discard it or ship it back to you. So do keep that in mind. So I did a few videos, YouTube videos as well about that there are some products that are perfect year-round and some that are just seasonally could be potentially a problem. So keep that in mind. So you also must list the grocery gourmet food products using the manufacturer's UPC code. Now, if you are a brand and you want to register your brand, you don't necessarily have UPC codes on them, but you want to have your own brand. Brand registry is a way you want to go. And the whole process for that actually is another podcast. I won't delve too much into it right now, but brand registry is what it's called, and it would benefit you if you're making your own product. Now, one other last thing, and again, this isn't the final thing. I just want to encompass a few basics, and then we'll move on to some other podcasts, and I'll explain it in much detail. I could sit here for 4 days and talk to you about what are the requirements for the food products, but I don't want you to fall asleep. So, Labeling in English, making sure that all the products that you have, of course, have English text, English fonts. That is one of their requirements, and it has to have that on there. And, of course, if you're creating a product that could potentially benefit from having you know, multiple languages on there. And there, I've actually have seen some. There's a lot of products that come out 4 or 5 languages, believe it or not. But main thing is to make sure that all of it is legible text that's that can be read very easily, and it has to be in English. So with that being said, I wanted to wrap up this really brief introduction as to some of the guidelines. And of course, I'll do some further ones on podcasts and explain to you in further detail later about some of the additional ones. But these are great startup ones, so you can kind of get a mindset of understand what is required and then move forward from there. So I appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast as always. Give me a big thumbs up if this was informative and helpful. And I, as always, thank you guys for subscribing to my YouTube channel. And if you guys need any further information or if you need assistance from me, I have a lot of different types of consulting products available too if you need help to move forward. I'm always there to help. And if you have any questions about this particular podcast, let me know. You can always email me too at marketingfoodonline@yahoo.com and check us out on our website at marketingfoodonline.com. So until next time, guys, I appreciate it. Take care.